First of all, I would like to express my thanks to several individuals. First of all, I'd like to thank Rav and Rebbetzin Kornfeld for the incredible support that they've given us over the past several years, not only in providing us this venue for learning and for davening, but the support that we received from them on a personal level during the years of my wife's illness. And their thoughtfulness and concern really kept us going. Secondly, I would like to express, and really I have unlimited gratitude to this person for everything that she did to contribute to my wife's care. I'm talking about Mrs. Sherry Spiegel, who took it upon herself to manage my wife's care over 3 years ago. She coordinated all of the care that my wife received, saw to everything that she needed, and I've said this to a number of people, that I literally would not be on my feet today if it had not been for the care that she provided to my wife and the assistance that she gave me. And I cannot repay her for all that the hassa that she did. I would like to thank the two mitzaplot who took care of my wife, Roselle Robinson and Sara Laderas. With Hashem's help, between Mrs. Spiegel, Roselle, and Sara, I think they lengthened my wife's life by a good 3 years. They prolonged her life by about 3 years. So, obviously, words cannot express my gratitude to them. And I would also like to express my gratitude to this mishpacha, this kehila, for not only its support for me and giving me a location to learn in Tadavan, but to the women of Kehila Sagra, who provided all the love and friendship to my wife over all the years she was here, and especially in the last few years of her life, when they came and visited her and gave her unlimited support. I would like to concentrate tonight on two aspects of my wife's personality, things that she did, which I think will point out the uniqueness of who she was, and things that she accomplished. The first characteristic I would like to describe is Gevurah. She had enormous strength, and she exhibited it. I'm going to describe what happened when, unfortunately, we lost our daughter to the terrorist bombing in Sabaro 20 years ago. When we got the news of the bombing, and we got the news that she was in fact one of the victims, my wife's reaction was, we had her for 31 years. We did not complain when she was born, and we're not going to complain now. I could not believe her strength at that time. Another exhibition of her gevura. There's an article on the Eshet Torah website entitled Shiva Call. It was written by a woman from Passaic named Renee Beth Chotim. She was visiting Los Angeles at the time we were sitting Shiva for our daughter, and she wrote of her experience coming to our home. This is what she wrote. Yesterday, I decided that I would make a Shiva call to the Haymans. Mr. and Mrs. Hayman lost their only child last week when a suicide bomber blew up Sabaro's pizzeria in Yerushalayim. I am sure you are all aware of this event. Shoshana, their pregnant daughter, lived in my community in New Jersey. I did not know Shoshana, and before yesterday, I did not know her parents, the Haymans. So I was not so comfortable going to their house while they were sitting Shiva with their family and friends. I walked up to the front door, closed my eyes, took a deep breath, and then started to shake. I could not bring myself to walk through the door. What would I say? What would I do? How was I going to look at these people who lost their only child and unborn grandchild? My heart was racing. I clenched my teeth and said to myself, "Renee, this is not about you." I tapped twice on the door. I walked in and saw several people sitting around in a circle. I was not sure what to do. A woman invited me to sit next to her. I think she was a close family friend. I was silent for several minutes. I was very uncomfortable and overwhelmed with sorrow. I glanced at Mrs. Heyman just as she looked up at me. I told her that I recently moved to Passaic, but I did not know Shoshana. She took my hand in hers and told me a story about Shoshana. She spoke to me for 10 to 15 minutes, holding my hand and looking at me the entire time. I knew then that I had made the right choice by walking through the door. I don't think that I have ever in my life seen such strength, courage, and trust in God. As Mrs. Heyman gripped my hands more firmly, and with the tears rolling down my face, I wondered if I would ever have half of her belief in God. I thought that I would only stay for 15 minutes, but 45 minutes later, I had to force myself to leave as a friend was waiting for me to pick her up from work. Mrs. Heyman hugged me 3 times before I left, and as she embraced me tightly, she thanked me for being there. I walked out the door the same way I walked in it, shaking. The other aspect of my wife's personality I would like to portray in several examples of chesed that she performed and how it impacted other people. Many years ago in Los Angeles, she attended a group of shiurim, a series of shiurim given by Rabbi Shlomo Holland of the Los Angeles Kollel. The shiurim were based on Miftah Meliyahu, and Rabbi Holland stressed that there are 2 types of people. There is the no-sane, and there is the no-tell. The no-sane always gives, and the no-tell always takes. My wife was very impacted by this whole concept, and she resolved that she wanted to be a no-say. What she did was she created a fusion of her giving nature with her growth in Yiddishkeit. And using this fusion, she proceeded to create many deeds of chesed that impacted on a number of people. She served for a number of years in Los Angeles as a mikveh lady, often staying late, but was always there when women needed to come. Often on Friday nights, after davening, I had to wait around the corner from the entrance so that I would not be seen, often a half an hour or more because it took longer than planned, but she was always there when needed. She served as a social worker in the Orthodox Counseling Program in Los Angeles, counseling members of the community. But unfortunately, that didn't last very long, simply because she knew so many people in the community that they didn't feel comfortable having her know about the issues that they were having. So she had to leave the program, not through any shortcoming of her own counseling, but because people felt awkward someone who knew so many people knowing about their issues. After she moved to Ramat Beit Shemesh from Los Angeles, she started doing a number of things that showed how much she thought about other people. And really, that was the core of everything she did. She thought about other people and what they might need and anticipated what they might need. whenever she went to a bris, she was very careful to bring a bottle of cold water for the mother to make sure that she had something to drink after having given birth. After all, it was only the eighth day after the child was born, and she was concerned that the mother would get enough to drink. She was very careful to bring gifts not only for the baby, but for the siblings of the baby, because after all, the siblings would see the baby getting gifts, but they wouldn't be getting gifts. And she wanted to make sure that the children, the siblings of the baby, would not feel left out. So she was makpid that we bring a gift for the other children as well. I was sent on shopping trips to Red Pirate to buy several boxes at a time of clicks or something similar, and we kept them in the basement, and whenever there was a bris, we had one to bring. Whenever people we knew were going to go on a transcontinental flight, say flying to the United States to visit family, she would go out and buy gifts and give them to the family. And these little gifts were for the children. So while they were on the plane ride, the long 12-hour plane ride to the United States, they would have something to keep them busy on the plane and not get bored. She did this many times. When we arrived in the United States on our trips, she would always bring gifts for children of the families we would visit. So they always looked forward to our visits, because they knew that Bubby Haman, which is what they called her, was going to be bringing gifts for them. There's a family in the Kehillah where the husband occasionally has to travel to the United States for business reasons. My wife would tell me, take a 100 shekel bill and go over to the family when the husband was away. Knock on the door, and when they opened it, hand them the bill and say, pizza gemach, go and get a pizza, Abba's not home. She did this a number of times. Whenever we had families over for a Shabbos meal, she would put out toys, train sets, other things. We had a little house with kitchen, with simulated kitchen kalim in it. And she'd put these toys out, and the kids, for the 2 hours or so that we had families at the Shabbos table, the adults would eat and talk. The children would sit on the living room floor and play with the toys. And by the time we were finished with the Suda, the children did not want to leave because they had had such a good time. And so they always looked forward to coming to our house to play with the toys. When we were planning our move to Eretz Yisrael, after we put our deposit down on our home, we knew what the floor plan would be. So my wife's goal was, when I move to Eretz Yisrael, I want to host seminary girls. So we went out and we shopped. We got quality American mattresses and other furnishings. We had 4 rooms in our home where we put space for 2 girls in each room. And we were able to host up to 8 girls for Shabbos, and we did for several years. And they were all very comfortable. This was the goal of my wife, to have them, and she always enjoyed having them. But it wasn't just providing them space. When the girls would arrive on Friday afternoon, the first thing that greeted them was my wife taking out of the refrigerator a bottle of water for each girl. Before I showed them to their rooms, they would get a bottle of water, which was very welcome during the warmer months when they came to us. On all of our trips to the United States, we went to an outlet store and we bought Jelly Bellies in bulk. And they weighed down our suitcases as we came back, but we would put them out for dessert after Shabbos meals, and the girls loved them. Or we'd put them on the table Shabbos afternoon so they could have a Shabbos party, and they always looked forward to it. An example of her sensitivity was on Friday night, after we first got to know the girls, I would make kiddush, we would have hamotzi, and then I would go around the table, and I would ask each girl in turn, what's your name? Where are you from? What seminary are you in? And what do your parents do? After a few of these Shabbases, she took me aside and she said, don't ask the girls what their parents do. Perhaps one of them has lost a parent. Perhaps they are coming from a broken home. Perhaps they'll feel awkward if you put them in that situation to describe what their parents do. Don't ask them. So I stopped asking them. When the girls would arrive on Friday afternoon for Shabbos, they were shy. They'd never seen us before. We showed them to their rooms, and as Shabbos progressed, they got more and more comfortable. By the time Shabbos was over, and they were going towards the front door with their little suitcases, they were hugging my wife. They didn't want to leave. In fact, one girl said, I don't want to leave. Can I stay here all week? One girl looked at me face on and said, give me a bracha. And I said, I'm not a rabbi, I don't give brachas. And she looked at me and said, give me a bracha. So I said, okay, I give you all a bracha that you should have success, hatzlacha in your learning. And when you go back to the United States, you find your beshert quickly, and you come back here to learn, and you stay here. And they all said, amen! We got, often we got repeat customers, because they spoke to each other, they talked. In fact, it was very amusing. One Shabbos, Yehuda Rosenbaum, Dr. Uri's son-in-law, came up to me when they were visiting. He had been on a bus in Yerushalayim, and he heard girls in the seat ahead of him talking. And one girl was saying to the other, have you been to the Hamans yet for Shabbos? You have to go. It's Gevaldik. And he came up to me here in Shul, and he asked me, what do you do? What's so special? And I said, we just give them American-style food with comfortable beds and American-style furnishings, and we give them their space and their privacy. That's all. But it was my wife's doing. I just went along for the ride. One of the things that my wife was felt very strongly about, there's an organization here in Eretz Yisrael called NITZA. What they do is they support women who have given birth and are having postpartum issues, depression, feeling overwhelmed. And so this organization provides counseling and other support for these women. So my wife said, we have to support this organization. So I send them a check every month, and I urge everyone to do the same, because it's a very deserving organization. But again, this was because of my wife's urging, something that meant a lot to her. Since she had done counseling as a social worker, she was in touch with what these women might need, and she felt it was a very urgent thing for me to do to support this organization. My wife knew a woman who had to have cancer surgery. She was, of course, very apprehensive. So my wife went out and bought her a little stuffed animal, such as what you find in the gift shops in hospitals. It was a little yellow chick. And she took this little gift and she gave it to this woman and said, the name of this bird is Chicky Emuna. She's going to keep you company through your surgery, and while you have a refuah shleima. And the woman took her, and Chicky Emuna kept her company, and she did in fact have a refuah shleima. And as far as I understand, Chicky Emuna was passed on to at least two other women. I don't know where Chickie Emuna is now, but she apparently fulfilled her tafkid to help women get through what could be a very trying medical experience. There is one more chesed that my wife left behind when she left this world. Three women came to help me last week to clear out all of my wife's things. Rebbetzin Kornfeld, Mrs. Spiegel, and Mrs. Lieber Rosenthal came and in 3 hours cleared out all my wife's things, saving me many hours of work. I'm very grateful to them. One of the things they found was this bag. On this bag is written, Ezra's Nashim of New Shul. What is in this bag? 2 women's shawls. Perhaps women will get cold up there, and my wife was concerned that they would get cold, so she wanted them to have shawls to put on so they would be more comfortable in shul. So this is going to go in the Ezra's Nashim as the last act of chesed that my wife performed before he left this world. In closing, I want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My wife almost passed away in March 2018. Hashem gave her 3 more years of life, for which we're very grateful. And I want to express Hakar Satov to Hashem for the privilege of having been married to her for almost 54 years. Tehei Zichra Baruch.
I'm in doubt that maybe speaking now is a vechina of Kol HaMoisiv Goreya. We heard such wonderful words of the greatness of Mrs. Shifra Heyman, Aleha Shalom. Maybe I'll add just a slightly different angle. It's more of the same, just something that we could take for ourselves. Sometimes we hear the extent of people's deeds. It sounds like something that's not shaykh to us. But obviously, everything is shaykh to all of us. Shlomo HaMelech said in Koheles, "Toiv achiz dover mevishisoy, toiv erech ruach migvar ruach." The end, when the end is good, that is much more important and much better than if just the beginning is good. A person who has a peaceful, tranquil, accepting disposition is better than a person who is a balgaiva. Simple shat the pasuk, which Chazal will give different examples of. Very often you could have a person that his reishis, the beginning of his life, is very shining, beruchnis, begashmis, and towards the end it does not remain the same. The reishis is good, but that the achis is good, that's a real sign that the person is truly good. A person could do a lot of good things for all different types of chesbonis. If it's coming from the gvar ruach, from the fact that he wants recognition, power, whatever it may be, so when it comes to the achis, to the ends of his life, when he doesn't have the energy for that anymore, things wane and wear off. If it's coming from his real recognition of what it means to be good, the Nadir Rabbah becomes even stronger as he goes through life. I once saw a sefer described, it was written a few hundred years ago. He said there was a person in town, he was the town rosher. And when they asked him to be chozer b'tshuva, he would say, "Don't worry, before I pass away, I'm going to say Shema Yisrael and everything will be alright." That's the way he went through life. And the end of the story was that he got very sick and he was getting closer and closer. And they tried to get him to say Shema Yisrael and he just couldn't say it. The achris of a person is the reality of the person. That's when we really see what he really is. And we was very good to see the achris. We heard today some of the rashis that we didn't see. But the achris, even what you mentioned, Bel Yadovid, it was shouting out that beautiful life that Mrs. Shifra lived her entire life. Those two stages that we saw of the achris, the achris of Boshan, she was still relatively healthy. But whatever she could do to not only benefit to others, but fulfill to others, and like we heard now, how everything was thought out, and really from a deep, genuine feeling, I really feel good about the other person. I want them to feel good. I want them to have the best feeling. I feel part of them. And I think everybody in this field, whenever we had any type of simcha, the two of you were there, and it wasn't just, there was never something with that feeling of Yosef Zayin, I have to do it, it's my responsibility. It's a general feeling of Sameach v'Simchas Kulam. We're all together and we're all one family and we all care for one another. That's what Klal Yisrael is. And once we have more shaitas, that's what we're supposed to feel. But it was such a beautiful example how she did that by every simcha. And you mentioned many beautiful examples of it with us and with the girls. The second stage, the last years, was Mitzad Echon. It was more painful for us to see when she was not in a stage of any type of health. Like you mentioned, there were times that it looked like the end has come, and miraculously every time she came back. But with that, the body completely weak and with different machlis that she had, the ruach was even stronger than before. Every person who came into the room, she wasn't able to walk, she wasn't able to get up. But she had that beautiful, sweet, tranquil smile always on her face. Always when anyone came in, they came out with a word of encouragement, of physic. Just this Shabbos, two of my granddaughters, 3 and 5 years old, suddenly said, "Let's go to Shifra, we want to visit her." And when they heard that she's in Shemaim that night, she's not available, you saw a sadness in their face. How is it a woman who is many, many years older, and you would think that there's no room for connection between them? I mean, they got to know when she was already not well. She was able, within that state of not having anything for herself, very little for herself, to still have that heart, to be able to give over something that even brought a shine into the lives of these little kids, of us, of all the different ages. We didn't even need medical tests to see if she got some type of infection, because whenever there was some change in that tranquility, that calmness, that peace of mind, that sweetness, we right away knew there's something medical going on, because otherwise there's no explanation that would change. The Maisa, the Gemara says, the Gemara in various places, it says,
Oil vin veinu,
A person who's oisa me'ava, doing everything me'ava, and that's a nekuda of ava. You do what you have to do, what you're forced to do. Ava means you want to do it. You want to do it as best as possible. Oisa me'ava, who's making the yisurin, even in the state of yisurin. Smeichin, one is able to retain that state of simcha, genuine simcha. That's a sign that they're oyhavov, they're people that have love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Poshet of Shaf is that if a person, he can be very religious and believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything else, when things don't go his way, whether it's the Olvim or whether it's the Yisurin, it's hard to retain that peace of mind, that feeling of simcha of life. Is impossible unless a person has that clarity of life, that his life is a special gift that a Kosh Bohu gave him or her, be ahava. Whether it's the physical life or opportunity for our spiritual growth that we have as Hashem's chosen nation. If a person really feels that I'm such a tremendous recipient of Ava, I mean living in this world of Ava that Hashem is bestowing upon me, that opens up the heart and the whole circumstances to feel I'm still in the state of Ava. The Gvura that you mentioned comes from that also. The Gvura of Yisrael came from the Ava of Avram Avinu. It has to start with that. With that clarity. Hashemish, that's the description. Just like when the sun is shining beautifully and the sky is blue and everything is smechim, it gets everybody's spirits up. And when it's cloudy and dark and everything else, the spirits are different. But the person that's living with this perception of life, that we're in this brisa ava, recipients of ava v'kodesh bohu, and we have this am, Klal Yisrael together, which we all have Ava for one another. It's also a gift of Hashem. We're also part of this special nation. Then the sun is always shining in situations which to everybody else it looks so dark and painful. That feeling of Ava lets the sun shine through every situation. It's not the Chida that she liked the sunflowers. That was a Bechina of her life, that the shining sun under all circumstances. And we saw that. When a person's in Yisurim, there's no room for him to think about the other person. I remember the last time I saw her at home, I had to be there as they were taking her to the ambulance the last time. And she needed the tipul. And she was very weak, but she was just smiling. I couldn't believe it. You know, someone told me she's not in such a good shape. And I said, look at her, she looks terrific. But come on, the body was not in such good shape, but the spirit. That spirit that lived with this Ava, the recognition of the Ava that we have. And she was that was like that with everybody around her. So much giving over to others and also so appreciative. The different medical staff and the different places, whether it be in the hospital or at home. I know even Michael Friedman, you had different things that she didn't always wasn't so happy with, hard things for her to do. But she was always appreciative. Dr. Jeremy Baron at home also, there's certain things that had to be done that may not have been pleasant, but the mice, it never took away from that feeling that I feel that everybody's here for me, and more than, and together with that, she always had that feeling that she could do whatever she can for everybody else. This is the Toiv Achiz Dovah Merishisoy. Like we heard, of Yibod L'chaim Toivim of Elia David, who's your mamash Ashutif with your wife and all these amazing things that she did and amazing things that you did. And you both grew together so beautifully. But it came from that the Rishis was built up in such a fashion with purity. We're not doing it for the Gvar Ruach to make an impression. We're doing it because we really care. We're doing it because we want to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see all the chassadim we receive from Hashem. We want to share with others. The Erech Ruach, even when things don't seem to be going right, to have the peace of mind that we may not understand things 100%, but we know everything's for the good and maybe we'll make the best of it. That brought around about this Achris. Achris, which is not an Achris. It's the end of Shifrin stage in this world, but the Achris is just starting now. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Olam Haba, back together with Shoshana. I remember, how long ago, that, like I said, everything's with sin, I don't want to talk too much, but the Maisa, the Haymans have a major part in what we have here today. And when it came the time to have to give a donation, so Shifra had to sign on it also. I remember Rebbe Yehuda telling me that she's not going to be able to sign on it, she's just too weak. And then you came back and you told me that, no, she did sign on it. So I didn't even know what happened, but I heard from somebody that was there, it looked like it was impossible for her to do anything. And when she was told that this is doing something good for the community and helping build a shul, and she somehow found koyches to do something that seemed that she couldn't even physically do. You know, b'nai sheba'olam works the other way around. If a person has to take money out of the pocket, if there's any type of excuse in the world not to do it. Somebody once told me that there was many, 50 years ago maybe, a rabbi in America, they went around collecting money for a mikveh and somebody promised a nice donation. So they went to his house and they started saying, Shakoyach, it's a wonderful donation. And all of a sudden they hear screaming from the kitchen. So he said, 1 second, I have to, I think my wife wants me. Anyway, it's a nice to show you. He told me that they heard her telling him in the kitchen, you promised me a trip to Hawaii. How can you give away your money to this course? Anyway, they had a discussion back and forth. And he comes back after a few minutes and he says, I reassess my financial state and I just cannot afford to give this donation. And so this is talking about healthy people. But when a person lives that life of, like we're saying, I have love. The love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the love of the values of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the love of the people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then when there's any opportunity to do it, no matter how hard it seems to be, one finds the strength, whether it's to give that smile and that advice when a person physically is feeling impossible and all these other things. Like Rabbi Yehuda mentioned, this shawl is an amazing thing, thinking about every little frat. Like we said, Horatius was genuine. All this chassadim she did in America and when she came here. And the mail of the Achris is the Achris Lenetzach. It's not just Horatius that ends. The Achris HaToiv is something that we made Lenetzach. And I'm sure that just like in her life, she was part of every simcha that we had over here. In her new life, she'll be part of every simcha we will have over here, Yitz Hashem, in the simcha room. As much as she cared about the chizik of the Torah Yerushalayim, when she was in this world, she'll be reaping eternally the schar of all the Torah and the tefillah that we're doing over here also, because she was such a major part of this, and this was her life, and we were her life. It was Zeicha now. We're not going to make a siyum now, but the children of the Kila made a siyum ashas of Mishnayis for the Shloshim. It's all part of the spirit of of Ava, the Brisa Ava. We should all be Zeicha. Each one of us are different stages. Some of us are more to the Rashis, some of us are getting closer to the Achris. But wherever we're holding, now is the time for us to think, I too want to make my racious, or wherever I'm holding, as genuine as possible fueled, empowered by a true feeling of Avos Hashem and Avos Yisrael and Avos HaTorah. And if we have that in Yis Hashem, whatever we go through in the course of our lives, we'll have that continued koyach to continue strengthening ourselves, strengthening all those around us, and bring nachas ruach to Kodesh Baruch Hu. May Shifra be Melitza Yosha for you both, L'chaim Tovim. Hoshev the husband, El Yudovid, and all of us, and the entire family, the broad family, and the family of the Kehillah, and the family of Klal Yisrael, I'm sure she will be with that tremendous Ava that she had in her life. I'm sure she's continued onwards. And may we all be Zeichem, Yitz Hashem, B'mheira, to be all of us back together, B'simchas Oilam, not only the Mikdash Ma'at, but in the Gula Shleima, the Beis HaMikdash, Yibonu B'mheira V'yameinu.